Welcome to Focus on Business, a podcast show for photographers with me, your host, Jane Goodrich. I'm talking to successful photographers so you can learn from our experiences and have the business of your dreams. So join us and let's focus on business. Hi, so today on the show, I'm really excited to have Zach Gray. Welcome. He's a fantastic wedding photographer turned, absolutely anything, Westcott Pro, photography business coach, entrepreneur business coach, like, you know, develop software, like master of everything. Welcome, Zach. How are you?
Thanks so much. I don't know if I'd call myself a master of everything, but definitely a serial entrepreneur.
Serial entrepreneur. Would be included in that. Tell our audience a little bit about you if they've, I'm sure most people have heard of you, but if they haven't, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm Zach, and for a season back 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, I was fairly known in the industry, in the photography industry. My wife at the time and I, Jody, started a photography business in 2007, and basically I never made more than $12,000 a year until that point. I was 27, and who am I to think that I could ever do anything successful? I kind of had a small mindset around success and money and earning and any of those kind of things. We started this little photography business and we thought, man, this is something I could be passionate about. I could do, maybe I could become good at this, and ended up shooting 19 weddings from June of 2007 to December of 2007, which I realized that was a lot. And then we sat down and did the math and I realized we didn't make a lot of money. And I was like, oh man, this is really frustrating. I had literally made a $4,000 profit. Now I did put a bunch of money into gear and equipment. But then my wife, who was pretty smart with the numbers, ran the numbers and said, man, if we double this and shoot 40 weddings, even 50 weddings, we'll maybe make 40 or 50 grand. And that's not great. Like, we want to make, what would be great would be to make, say, six figures, 100 or more. So I was like, well, what's missing? I think our photos are getting kind of good. People seem to really like us. What's wrong? And then I realized, oh, we don't know anything about business. We literally know nothing. So I decided I should probably learn something about business. So I did two things. At the time, I was listening to this guy named Dave Ramsey, and he said, this profoundly changed my life. Where are you going to be in 5 years is dependent on two things, the books you read and the people you meet. And I thought, business, how does that relate to business? I've never read a business book in my life, and I don't know anybody successful. So I need to read business books and meet successful people and do whatever they tell me to do. I took out a number of different entrepreneurs, most of them photographers that I knew were making money. And I said, hey, how do you make money? And all of them said the same thing. Now, most people ask us how we take cool pictures. But you're wondering how we do business. Wow, that's pretty cool. And they told me, helped me, gave me pricing structures and all kinds of cool stuff. And then I read like 10 business books, December 2007. I just voraciously started reading all these books. And I came up with a plan. And I said, this is the new plan. I came up with a plan. Jody executed the plan because she's a great executor. And in January of 2008, we had this new five-year plan to get us to six figures. And I realized we needed to run the numbers. We needed to know what kind of, we were shooting wedding, what kind of brides did we need, how much did they have to spend, how much was our profit, how much did it cost us to do it, how much time were we putting in every single shoot, et cetera, et cetera. And we had this great organic marketing plan, which, by the way, we'll probably talk about at some point on this show, how we did this specifically. We engaged this new plan, and within 2 weeks, I had all the balls rolling for the next 60 days to generate $83,000 in bookings. And over the course of that year, we broke six figures. And I jump-started our business, and I just went, I can't believe this. I can't believe I'm doing something I love doing, actually making legitimate money doing it. And at the end of that year, I just said, I got to help as many people as I can. At first, it was photographers, but over the years, it's become anybody and everybody that is passionate about something and maybe doesn't believe in themselves or maybe has some limited outlook on what's possible. I always say this, how tall can you stand? Everybody can stand a little bit taller, right? Including me, including you, whoever's listening to this.
No, I'm going to do it.
And what are you capable of doing? And then, is there a simple, executable plan that you can follow that you can legitimately do the thing? And now I've had the privilege, as you mentioned in the beginning, I coached in workshops and one-on-one about 1,500 photographers over the course of 15 years. And then about 100,000 people on our email list that we spoke to every single week. And then we traveled the world from Paris and Moscow and Amsterdam and all over the U.S., teaching people how to run a more successful business and shooting all over the country and being a Westcott top pro and creating content for photographers, helping them take better pictures and all this amazing stuff for many, many, many years. And it was a really, really cool experience to be able to do that. And I still help entrepreneurs to this day.
I love that.
So that's a bit of the story.
I love that. Why did you choose photography? What were you doing before? What made you think, all right, I'm going to start a photography business? Or did you say, I'm going to be a photographer?
I think it's the same reason that a lot of people do. Right when we jumped on pre-show and we were just checking mics and all that stuff, I was sort of playing with my guitar up on the wall. I was a professional musician. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was a professional musician when I first came. That's why I came to Nashville. And I think that creative types in general sort of, they have this similar story. Not all of them, but many of them that are creative. They like something that's creative. I like music because it's got two things I love, which is it's artistic, but it's also scientific. There's a way to do it right, but then there's a way to make it beautiful. And photography is like that. There's a way to do it right, but most of us go, there's a beautiful way to look at the world too. That's kind of my way, and it's something I can create. And most entrepreneurs, there's a great book by Michael Gerber called The E-Myth. It's one of the first business books I ever read. He uses the storyline of a pie maker. There's this lady, and she loves to bake. And she makes pies for her friends, and she's passionate about delicious tasting pies. And all of her friends eat her pies. They come over for Thanksgiving and eat the pies. They just go, these pies are so good. You know what you should do? You should sell those pies. And she goes, what could be better than doing the thing I love, but getting paid to do the thing I love? And Michael Gerber calls this the fatal assumption. And he says, it's fatal for this reason. He says, just because you're qualified to do the work doesn't mean you're qualified to run a business that delivers that. Then we start a business and we go, I got to figure out my P&L statement. I got to figure out how to get ideal clients. I got to figure out how to build a website that has a call to action and authority and a testimony on it that drives people into a lead form that qualifies them. It starts to be frustrating because 90% of what you do isn't taking pretty pictures.
Right.
90% of what you do is really running a business. So if we can marry those two and fall in love with the creativity of a business and come up with some really great, beautiful systems, then we've got a match made in heaven. So I would say that's a long way to answer your question, which was, I love music. And when I realized I didn't know how to make money in music because I was traveling all the time, I thought, what else could I do that I could potentially enjoy? Photography is creative and scientific, and it was a natural draw to me.
Yeah.
And I happened to be married to somebody that was good with process and systems. Match made in heaven right there from a business perspective.
Definitely from a business perspective. Yeah, I think I've heard from quite a few people that they have somebody running the business and they're doing the photographs and like relationships and all that stuff. It is more than just a one person job because it's a business, right? So,
and I will tell you this, the benefit of today is that if you have the right tools, anything that we'll talk about today is really, there's a tool for converting a lead into a customer. There's a four-step tool. There's a tool for managing a client. There's a workflow process for managing a client to make sure you churn out happy clients. There's tools for posing a client. Do this, 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 and this, and they look like this. There's tools for composition. There's a exposure triangle for taking the right exposure of a picture. There's a process or a tool for taking great off-camera flash photos. Everything is just a tool, and you have to sort of look at all the things that need to be done. The 6, 8, 10 things in a photography business. There's really 6 key things.
Yeah.
And if you have the right tool for each one of these things, and technology can fill the role of a lot of these things, you can run a relatively successful business if you know what those tools are and those tools are functioning pretty well.
I love that. I love that. And also, like, you can actually outsource some of it. You joked about, you know, P&L, like
100%.
First thing. In fact, actually, before I even had a website, I had an accountant. I was like, I'm not dealing with that. I know myself. I outsourced that from day one, and I'm so glad I did. So if you were to travel back in time to 2008, 2000. No, actually, when did you, like that?
When you decided? The first one was June 2007.
Yeah, 2007. So if what would you tell yourself, what would you do differently about how you launched your business?
Well, I would definitely not tell myself how much work it was going to be, because that level of naivety, this is sort of a superpower I have, which is I got this great idea and I don't think about how what it's actually going to take to get it done until I'm deep into it and I just do all, you know, do it.
Hyper-focused.
So I would not tell myself that. I would probably tell myself, do you want this to be external, internal, or philosophical?
You know, we've got listeners that are new to the photography business, so whatever you choose.
I tend to go internal or philosophical.
Yeah.
So whenever you have a passion project, it's very easy for that passion to become your life. And I would tell you this, I would say the photography business is not more important than my marriage. I would probably tell myself that, to be very, very careful not to let this become my identity.
Yeah.
And instead focus on who I really am and how I can become the most present person possible with the people around me, including my spouse or a significant person. I would say that would be the primary thing. Like, that's very deep, and like some people may listen to that and like, maybe you're 2 years into this and you've been ignoring your spouse because you're just busy work. This is critically important because it's very easy for that to happen. I'd say that's probably number one. And then number two, maybe this is something you can never really do. Maybe we all know this, but when you're in the season of this really cool thing you're actually doing, it's hard to recognize how great this really is, that I'm taking pictures and people are paying me money. Like, enjoy it. Enjoy the moment. I'm a very visionary person, so I think about the future a lot and I get stuck on the past. My goal in my work for 2024 is to be present. How present can I be with my children? How present can I be with the people that I love, et cetera? And how present can I be just going, wow, isn't this cool?
Yeah.
That this is the life that I have an opportunity to thrive today. And some days you're in survival, but that's okay. But today I get an opportunity to thrive. So I'd probably say that. That would probably be the two.
I actually love that. And I actually love having a word for the year. Like, I like it. It helps focus you. Like, what's that word for the year? You know, is it be present or phrase or something like that? I actually think that's a really interesting point.
Yeah. And I mean, if you'll allow me for a second, from a logistical perspective, if I grab this, this is my journal.
Yeah.
And if we look through here at all these, like every day it does this really cool thing. This is just a basic journal you can get. This one's called, if anybody's curious.
Well, I'll put it in the link.
We'll put a link because I don't remember the name of it. But essentially, it's very cool. It says, how do you feel today? So check in with like, what's really going on here? How do I feel? What are my intentions or achievements that I intend to do today? Or just three things, because that's all you can really do in a day. Three things. Then what are three things that I'm grateful for? And then what am I going to do for my happy hour? Meaning, when I check these things off my list, how am I going to celebrate? One thing that I've noticed I started doing for this year, for 2024, when I said my goal for who I want to become is I want to be more present, was every day I started putting down my intentions as, well, I'm meeting with so-and-so, I'm going on this podcast with Jane. How present can I be in this moment with myself, with her? How interested can I be in what's the only thing that's actually happening in reality?
Yes.
Nothing else is happening. The future is not real. The past is not real. It's just a memory.
Right.
This is the only real moment from my perspective that there actually is. How present can I be in this moment? And I've just been writing. So to turn that idea practical, I've been writing that down.
Yeah.
Couple of weeks ago, I was going to see a friend I hadn't seen in a while, and I wrote down as an intention, how present can I be with Warren?
Right.
And then when we were together later on, a couple of weeks later, we were talking about this over some text, and I was like, yeah, you know, this is an intention of mine. And he goes, you know, I noticed that when we were together. I noticed that you were much more present. And I was like, how great is that? And he felt like I was more interested in him than I had ever been in the past.
Wow.
And I've known this guy for 15 years, you know, and that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I love the journal. I actually have a little bit of a hoarding habit with journals. I always try, and I think I have about 50. My 9-year-old daughter loves it because she sort of gets the ones that don't work. But I actually do like that, and it will bug you for the link because what I love about it is it breaks it down into three and then sort of the intentions and the happy hour. What do you going to do to celebrate? Because I feel as business owners, photographers, creative people, we're always, okay, well, I've got to be the next thing. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And then there's these little wins of like, hey, I recorded a podcast today. Was that great? I'm going to celebrate that. Just to celebrate 100%. The little wins as they're happening. 100%. I was talking to some photographers and they were asking about different to-do lists and this, that, and the other. One, she said, well, I didn't get anything done on my to-do list, but I did X, Y, and Z. And I said, I want to create, and again, this is me being like, I want to create, it's probably not easy, right? But I want to create a done list. This is what you think you get done. And this is what you actually did, but it doesn't matter because this is still helping your business. Like, what did you get done today? Might not have been those three things that you got done that you wanted to do. Might have been something else because you got sidetracked by a squirrel because, you know, like that's what I have.
Totally.
So,
as creatives do.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so, that's funny. We were chatting before you came on and I really want to hear your answer to this of like what your favorite form of marketing is because I know it'll probably be, you know, go in depth as possible because I loved what you were talking about before.
Yeah, so marketing. In January 2008, after making $4,000 in 6 months, and being very frustrated, I'd read a bunch of great business books and got this great plan, which was, I need this certain type of client, a certain type of bride that is willing to spend X amount of dollars in the front end, about $3,000 on the front end, and is okay with that. Well, where do I get those people from? So we came up with this great plan. And this great plan was it was really ingenious, which was I said, I don't know any of those brides, but who does? Who's a partner that I could build a relationship or partnership relationships, as I sort of call it? And I said, well, wedding planners. Wedding planners already have 30, 40 brides through the year, and certain planners only work with certain budget weddings. And Nashville is a big city and it's full of wedding planners. There's tons of them. So we got online, started doing some market research, and I built a list of, at that time, was about 35 planners. I would recommend more partners to start, but about 35 was on the list. I read a book by Seth Godin called The Purple Cow. And in The Purple Cow, he says, people don't care, if you're taking notes, write this down. People don't care about what's better. They care about what is different. Meaning, it's very easy to remember something simply because it was different, right? It uses the analogy of it's the first time you go out in the backcountry and see all these cows out in the field. The first time you go, oh, look at those, a brown cow, neat. But then after a while, if you see hundreds of them, you just kind of go, okay, another brown cow, whatever. But he said, if you then saw a purple cow, you would never forget it. Why? Is it better? Is there something it can do that another cow can't do? No, it's just purple, so it stands out in your mind. He says, that's remarkable. Just being different is remarkable. So I said, okay, I want to build a relationship. All I need is about five planners. He said, five planners, each send me five weddings. That's 25 weddings. And if they're all ideal customers, my business would be rocking and rolling. How do I build a relationship with just five people that could send me 5X more people? I don't just want to build a relationship with a planner and get on some list. I said, because that's not remarkable or interesting. I said, I only want to be the list. It needs to be the kind of referral where they love us so much that they say, you have to hire Zach and Jody. And if you can't get them, here's some other people I recommend. That's the kind of relationship I wanted. So here's what I did. 35 planners on a list that I thought were great. I did as much research as I could to find out as much as I could about them. Then we handwrote 35 handwritten notes. Hey, so-and-so planner, checked out your website. Oh my gosh, amazing. I noticed you just had your first daughter. Super cool. I love that photo on Instagram about X. Now, there was no Instagram in 2008, but you get the idea. That's, I'm modernizing it for you. And then back then it was on your blog, you know, whatever. And then I said, inside this little gift bag, you're going to see there's a $5 Starbucks gift card, which back then could buy you a coffee. Now it can't. We would love to get together with you and have a coffee on us and hear about what we could do to serve your business. We packaged this little boutique thing up in the mail. Remember that? And mailed it to them. out of the 35 planners, 7 of them within about a week or so responded because we put our business card in there. Now I would put a link to my Calendly so they could get on a call or set up a time to meet in face-to-face, which is ideal, or a call like this. 7 of them responded. Within a week of meeting with 5 of them, 4 of those 35 immediately started referring us business, immediately. And within 60 days, we made $83,000 in. That radically changed the trajectory of the business. That was just one of the 3 corners of our triangle marketing that we focused on. So wedding planners, we did that. Then I did that with other wedding guitarists because wedding guitarists can't shoot every wedding. I did the exact same thing. I built a relationship with 5 photographers, sat down and had dinner and said, I want to send you all my double bookings of my best clients. Does that sound interesting to you? And I went, yeah. And I said, great, let's share a Google Calendar together. Anytime I get an amazing client that I can't shoot because I'm booked, I'm going to send it to you if you're available. And they were like, really? I was like, yeah. And I said, that's it. And then, of course, when I did that, they did that for me. So then I had 5 photographers. Then I went and built relations with 5 wedding venues and did the exact same thing. And now all of a sudden, all these clients were just, I got 33 weddings booked that year. Starting at $3,000 and people were spending up to $10,000 with us just in 2008. And the business just exploded. So that's my favorite marketing technique.
I love that because I think also with, you can do that in any form of photography, right? For example, anything. I'm a newborn and family photographer. Maybe there's not 35 doulas, right, in my area, but there's probably a lot. There's also prenatal yoga people that you can meet. And you get to know them. And I love the how can I serve you first, because they're going to need some photos for their Instagram. You know, we have a camera, you know, like do something for them first. And then, you know,
100%.
And I love the fact that you said you meet with other wedding photographers, because if I'm sort of heavily booked, you know, and I can't book anyone in the fall, I refer them to I call them my friends now. And, you know, or I don't do bar mitzvahs, I refer them to somebody else. And I will say there are situations where you need a second. I was sick and I needed somebody to go and photograph somebody's mom that was in town from South America, but my grandmother was passing. So it was like, you need your friends. Like I call them making business friends to do it.
Yeah. And if you think about organic marketing, this is a tool that we just discussed, kind of a 10,000 foot view of a tool. The devil's always in the details. The nuance is where the magic happens. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we walk through 6 or 7 key steps to get to the end result, which is 5 wedding planners that think you're the greatest thing on earth because you care about them. You're interested in them. You're taking care of them. You're finding out what you can do for them. You're not talking about yourself. You're talking about them. Then when you get one of their clients, you blow their client's expectations out of the water and their client, you always push that back to the planner. So how is it about how great the planner is? And the planner just wants to keep reciprocating. Now we build this really beautiful thing together. Speaking of the nuance and why it's so critical, the nuance, as an example, with I build a relationship with a photographer in weddings, and I tell him I'm going to send him a referral. Then I get a double booking, and I can't do it. So when I check the Google Calendar and notice he's available, this is what I do. I reply back to my client, who's probably coming to a referral, who really wanted to work with me, but I can't do it because I'm booked. And I say, oh my gosh, I'm so bummed out. I'm not available for your wedding, but don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. If I was going to get married again, this is who would shoot the wedding. This is one of the best photographers on the planet. I know this person personally, and I've already checked their calendar and they're available. But guess what? This is a hot date. They get booked really fast. Here's their name, phone number, and email. Call them today and book them as fast as you can. And then I BCC that photographer so he sees everything I wrote about him, but the client does not see that. The reason for that is I'm saying I talk a big game and I deliver a big game. And this is what I really think. This is why I'm building a relation with you. I meant it. Like Evan Baines was one of these photographers, a friend of mine still, for 20 years. One of the best photographers I've ever met. He actually taught me how to become a way better photographer. And I built this relationship with him. And he would call me like the next day after that kind of was wrong, go, I owe you dinner again. You just made me $5,000 today. And I'm like, let's keep it going.
Yeah, and I actually think the friendships that you make, because it can actually be quite a lonely business, right? And if you're only just marketing on social media and you're not really getting out there and learning about the ideal client, learning about your community from For me, it was a music store that she has a music class, huge storefront. She's so well known in the area. But guess what? She recommended me. And just being able to call her and be like, I'm having a bad day. Can we have lunch? It's just night and day than just sitting in my studio, like editing, where I'm just feeling sorry for myself.
Well, you know, what's really interesting about what you're saying is that, speaking of going from external to internal or philosophical, that's a Donald Miller thing, if you've ever read Story Brand.
Yeah,
that's what he talks about with your business.
Yeah.
But essentially, now more than ever, people are dying for real connection.
Yeah.
More than ever. So a lot of people are like, well, everything's done on Instagram. Everything's done. Sure. There's some truth to everybody is sort of doing this. But also, there was just an interview done with the Surgeon General of the United States. And he says, what is the biggest medical catastrophe facing America?
Loneliness.
And he said loneliness. And we need to put all of our resources into loneliness. People are alone. And not just alone in the sense of they're not interacting with something or somebody, but nobody's kind of speaking to this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you show up and sit with anybody, a planner, the president of your HOA, because your family's a dog, you're going to do something for the HOA and get a bunch of people together. And you go, what's going on for you?
Mate,
tell me about the challenges of being a, running the HOA or anything about their actual life. And you're actually listening and being, what we talked about at the very beginning, present.
Mm-hmm.
You will become the most valuable person to everybody.
Yeah.
And that's not the goal. The goal is not, how can I become the most valuable person? The goal is connection. How can I connect in the best way possible? And one of the natural results of that is people want to be around you.
Yeah.
They feel valued by you.
And I love how you talk about it in terms of relationships, because when I teach on this, then people are like, I don't want to network. There's a sort of like a knee-jerk. And I will say, I don't like the word. I don't know why I get a knee-jerk reaction to it. I'm outgoing. I'm friendly. I like people. But there's something about that word. But I say it making business friends. But I love the word actually relationship marketing or partnership marketing, because it sort of takes off the scariness. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to send in regular mail, which I absolutely love the idea. But I'm kind of curious about those 28 people that just took your Starbucks card and didn't, and didn't write back. I'm just kidding. But,
I guarantee you they never forgot who I was.
Right. And maybe they did refer you,
They just weren't the right person.
Right.
They just weren't right. Not everybody's going
to
be right for you.
Right. Okay. What I love about that is it's less scary to do something like that. Put something in the mail. If you're scared about sort of like meeting new people, put it in the mail and then they're going to respond to you. And then they could reach out and they're sort of starting the connection and it's less scary, which I love. I just think that that is actually such a great tip.
It's amazing.
You use, especially in these day and age where we are sort of hidden behind a computer and be like, how do I actually do that versus going to BNI?
And if you read any great business book, I wish Anne had sit next to me, but I always keep a copy of Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which I read in 2007 as well. And you realize to have great relationships, it's actually, there's very little burden on you because it's all about them. People aren't really that interested in you. So just remember that. People are mostly interested in their own thriving, their own survival themselves. And when we become Dale Carnegie says this. He says, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming genuinely interested in other people than you can in 2 years trying to get other people interested in you. All you have to do is ask people questions, smile, use their name. Carnegie says, it's the most beautiful word in the English language is your own name. And somebody goes, hey, I'm Zach. And you go, really nice to meet you, Zach. Tell me your story. What do you want to know? What's important to you? We just had a kid. Oh, tell me about that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're like, who is this person that's interested in?
Yeah.
Be curious.
Curious. I think curious is
one of the companies I'm working with right now is called Curiosity Coaching. This is what he does.
Oh, interesting.
He gets people to ask better questions instead of coming up with all the right answers.
Yeah.
Genius.
It is a genius. Like, be curious. And I love the tip on using someone's name because it actually can help in more ways than one. It can help building relationships, but also on your shoots. Like, people relax. You're like, hey, Zach, can you just pose this way? Versus, hey, can you just pose this way?
100%.
It relaxes you because you, like you said.
Yeah. And the more you show a genuine care for them as people and not just them in the context of the business deal you're doing together, that's another powerful tool. That's the experience tool I've shared with thousands of people. But How do you build an experience that speaks to the philosophical or the internal desire versus just the external needs for cool photos or for even their story to be told? Because really, photographers are not photographers, they're storytellers. Mm-hmm. And once you start realizing that, that's where the value is. And what I mean by this is, if a bride and groom walk in the door and book me to shoot their wedding, and they quickly realize I'm more interested in their marriage and relationship than just the wedding day, they just go, whoa. It's a remarkable thing, meaning you stand out purple cow, because you're interested in the real things in their life. Like, a bride doesn't dream about her wedding day because she's just dreaming about one day. It's about the hope of what it could become. The white picket fence and the knight in shining armor and the family and the beautiful life together and building something that matters. That's really what it's about. It's not about a wedding day. And most vendors are interested in making you have a great day. And the first thing we did was we would book somebody and give them a book on marriage that we highlighted a bunch of stuff in the book. And they would go, well, we go, yeah, this book made a big impact on our relationship, and we're interested in your relationship. Mm. And they would go, holy cow, this is really different.
I think that's interesting, because when I was shut down in the pandemic, one thing that I realized that I missed was, yes, I missed the shooting, but I was really worried about the moms because they didn't have the support and anything. And when my first shoots after it, I just saw a lot of postpartum, and I realized that I wasn't just photographing them. I was giving like little tips from, I see so many different cultures of someone struggling with this, or I'll slip a postpartum therapist card to the dad. Okay, you know, she needs it. And he's like, really? Uh-huh, she had a traumatic birth experience. And so you need to do that. But it's all about their family. And it's all about them as humans, not the photographs. Someone's just had a baby 10 days ago. They're exhausted. And then I'm going to try and pose their baby and be with them for three hours. So...
yeah, I mean, it's really neat too, because we have an opportunity to add value to somebody's life. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes those can just be little nuanced ways with a little bit of this. And it's really good because it makes them really remember us. But also, what's better than taking cool pictures, telling somebody's story? What's cooler than making some money in a business is having an impact on somebody's life, making their life better.
Yeah.
And if you start thinking that way, how do I improve people's lives?
Yeah.
How do I make this matter?
Yeah.
Then you are now making your life and world about something bigger than just yourself and making some money on the side or making a full-time income. And that's great. And that's good for you. That's good for your family. That's good for a lot of things. But what's even better is legacy and what happens long-term. Those things are really cool. And you get an opportunity to do that. If you're shooting a baby photo or a family session or a senior, wedding, a legacy, which is what I call people that have been married 40, 50 years, and you do a legacy.
I love that.
A sheet for them. All these things are your opportunity to invest your time and energy into somebody's life to make their life better. And if you think about what you do in the business, like, what's the little thing I can do here, here, and here to make their life better? It's very fulfilling.
It's really fulfilling. Like, for a newborn photography listening, you've seen a lot of things that work with other... I've photographed over 1,000 babies, right? I know what works and what doesn't. And so a new mom that's struggling because there's so much information overload, and it's okay, you can do this. Or, hey, dad, you know what? She's just run a marathon and carried a human for 10 months. You know, I think you should change the diaper, right? And she's just, oh my gosh, you just... And he's, oh yeah, I didn't think of that. Well, he's tired too, but it's just, I think I can get away with it because I think like my English accent's Mary Poppins, but it's really, I'm advocating for that mom.
You guys
mom.
Get so much leeway.
Yeah, we do. We get.
Like, you can say really mean stuff and it's kind of like, oh, that was kind of nice. You know, it feels good.
No, I don't say mean stuff, but I do like.
Oh, I'm saying you could.
I have, but not to my clients, but you know, in my waitressing days, I did, but all right. When you were full-time wedding photographers, so we're sort of rewinding a little bit, how did you have a work-life balance? I mean, you talked about, you know, you'd regret being a little bit more present and everything. How would you recommend, like, photographers that you coach now, or even entrepreneurs, if they have a seasonal business, how do you cope with that? Is there a work-life balance, if that is ever existing, ever, if you're right?
Yeah, well, I think that it doesn't have to be about you know, mincing terms, but sometimes when you hear a word, you think a specific thing. So balance kind of makes it feel like everything has its proper place all the time. And I don't think that's a very realistic thing at all. Versus a friend of mine, Caitlin James, once said this. She said, it's more like a pendulum swing, right? Sometimes I need to put a little more time into my business. Like, if I don't put time into something, it's not going to really succeed. But sometimes I need to put more time into my relationships with my family or taking care of myself or, you know, personal time or whatever. As long as it doesn't swing too far and too out of balance from that perspective, where it's like way over here and all I'm doing is work.
Right.
So I think if you look at any business, one of the worst things and the most detrimental things that happens to a successful business is they get successful quickly.
Right.
So they get successful really quickly. Now they're just super busy. And what they can do is actually iterate on the business. They don't spend time working on the business. They're just in the business doing stuff. And even if it's good or bad, it's just active. So they just keep doing stuff and they don't have time. So one of the best things that you can do is figure out, how do I make a decision? Here's what I'm going to do and what I'm going to commit to. And really the most important thing, I think, is deciding what your value proposition is for your life in general. So what's at the top of your value ladder? And if you say, if you're spiritual, it's spirituality. Then if you're married, say it's your spouse. Then if you have kids, maybe it's your kids. Like, these are the most important things. Nothing is going to get in the way of these relationships. Then work. Okay. Work is probably fourth or fifth down the list. So if I have work, how can this work add value to these things? There may be a time where to take care of these things properly, I need to work enough to generate enough income to take care of these people. Okay. But that's a season. Then once you've made that decision, trying to decide what is really the most important things for me to say yes to and what are the things that I really should be saying no to. And the reality is I'm a big fan of the Pareto principle, which is the 80-20 rule. If you are running a fully functioning business and it took off in a year like mine did, the reality is about 80% of what you're doing is probably useless or worthless. And 20% of what you're doing is actually generating all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of us can be sitting around scrolling on Instagram thinking we're doing something with our business. The reality is, if you looked at it on paper, you'd go, this is generating nothing.
Yeah.
It's doing nothing for me. So what's important is, if I looked at, I have a relationship with this planner. She sent me 5 weddings. That turned into $26,000. This is my 20%.
Right.
How can I take the 20% and focus in on that and do more of that and eliminate or systematize the other 80%, just get rid of it or process it? If it's stuff that kind of has to be done, how do I do that? And focus in on that 20%. That is going to give you the most bang for your buck and the most balance, because you're doing activities that are actually producing something. And if you can't measure it, it didn't happen.
Right.
If you can't look at this and go, I did this, then this, then this, and it produced this result, you're probably just sort of
winging it.
Out here going like this, hoping it's going to turn into something that's really not effective.
That's interesting.
And I think a really good coach helps you look at your life and go, you realize you're doing all this stuff and it's totally useless. And you go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The outside perspective is really, really helpful.
I think that's fascinating because of how you said, oh, well, you can get too busy if your business took off. Because that could be you're in your area and now you're the cheapest person who's doing family photos and you're just fine. You're killing it. You're doing amazing. But you're so busy that you don't realize that you're not A, making money, but B, when another photographer comes along, they're just going to wipe out your client base. But I love the 20% because for me, you're just actually sort of, thank you for the therapy session, because I know what works in my business. I know Instagram. I got one client in 14 years from Instagram. Why bother? Like, why am I wasting time on Instagram? Facebook, until I think Facebook pages worked until those Facebook groups. So I just left my Facebook page because it's not working anymore. I'm getting like 2 people looking at it. So like, to free yourself of knowing where your clients are coming from, to be, I don't have to feel like I have to be on Instagram or I don't have to be on Facebook. I can focus on my email marketing that I have 5,000 clients. I can focus on that. That's okay. to give yourself a little bit of a break. You know, you're like
100%,
wherever it is. And I love the honing in on what's working, double downing. I love the Pareto principle, but I've never heard of it.
Yeah, you know, when we started our business back in 07 and 08 and started to get successful, when we shot 33 weddings, and it was like 33 weddings, 33 engagement sessions, 33 wow. Workflow task lists that each had 78 tasks that we did to
yeah.
deliver, you know, we systematized yeah. that, we processed that. So it got easier and easier and easier. I looked at every area of the business that had what I call bottlenecks. Where's something where the business sort of slows to a halt or gets really frustrating or there's a pain point?
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason we're able to do this and fix these problems is because every week we dedicated two to three hour blocks to working on the business and solving problems in the business instead of just taking care of what business we already had.
Oh, you're working
on
the
business.
And it was
hard because we stopped and we said, we're not going to deal with customers. We're not going to edit photos. We're not going to do stuff that has to do with making the business deliverables happen. We're going to look at the business and go, what are the two or three biggest problems we have in the business? Most photographers, their biggest problem is they spend 22 hours editing a session. Even today with AI and all the stuff, they just fiddle. I happen to have this crazy workflow from the beginning, which was 2.5 hours to do everything related to wedding, including building the album and delivering photographs down to 2.5 hours. So it was incredibly, incredibly fast. But you have to basically be able to take an inventory and go, okay, there's six components to a photography business. I've got my website. I've got my marketing plan. I've got my workflow. I've got my experience. I've got my pricing structure, et cetera. These things that are in the business, where are the bottlenecks? Where's the problems? And let's attack these one at a time and solve them,
right.
Systematize them, eliminate them, or make them better.
Right.
You know what I mean? So how do I make these things better? And if I do that and iterate, you'd be shocked in 6 months what you could do.
Absolutely.
To have just a highly functional business that works really, really well.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to figure out how to solve these problems.
It's interesting that you did that sort of the 2 to 3 hours on your business. And I was like, oh, I never did that. I'm like a cry into my rib, you know. But actually, I have.
Well, you do it because you're forced to at some point.
Well, I do a weird thing, and I don't know why. I love Law and Order and all the detective shows. So I actually called it like a shoot postmortem. Each shoot, you know, what happened, whether it was learning a location didn't work for a 2-year-old because it was too rocky and the kid fell over, or could I have done something different? Like, so every shoot, I did it sort of on a micro level. And then because my business is quite seasonal, every January yeah. I did a sort of like a, what do I want to change of my business? So you can do it weekly, but you can also do it in a slow season, but also basically after every shoot. Where did yeah. that person come from? That's working. I want more of that people a little bit each time.
I don't know if it's me because, or if a lot of creators work this way, but I tend to be more on the visual side. So we had three sections of whiteboards. I had this giant 6-foot-tall whiteboard, which was my idea board or my problem-solving board. Then I had three glass ones that were smaller step-by-step ones, and then we had another one for individual things for the day. What we did was I would go on, say, on this work on the business day instead of in the business. We would go, okay, what's been really giving us some headaches lately? We go, this or workflow or client experience or something, you know, something that's taken up an unusual amount of time or is really hard or feels like frustrating. Write it down. Let's get some clarity. So that's this called discovery. Discovery. What's going on? And you can do this to start a business. What's mm-hmm. missing for me to be able to start a business? I love photography. What's missing? Well, portfolio. I don't have a very thick portfolio. I need more portfolio. I need to work on some off-camera flash skills. Okay. Discovery. We're going through a bunch of things. Now that we've got kind of the 10,000 foot view of discovery, now we got to get some clarity. Okay. In my workflow, what's missing? Well, I don't have a system. I really don't know what to do pre, during, and post shoot. Like, I kind of have a few things, but I don't know everything I do and I kind of just wing it. So I need to just write everything down. Okay. More clarity. And then what else? I need a way to kind of make more of an experience out of this and do it at the right timing. So I need some timing triggers on this. Okay, great. Now we've got some clarity. Now we go to the last step, which is implementation. How do I actually do this? What do I need to do? How many steps are there? Say there's 5 things I actually need to get done. And inside of each of those 5 things, there's 3 things. Okay, well, that's going to take me 5 working days to get this done, but I have to work on in my business too. So it's going to take me 4 weeks to get all these things done if I dedicate one day to do these three tasks, etc. Now I start writing down the implementation. I need to find something to do my workflow with, do some research, make a decision, pick it. Then I need to write out all the steps. Okay, I got to do that. Then I got to find out some better steps that maybe some other people do better, do a little research on that, etc., etc. Now, 4 weeks later, I've got a fully functioning workflow and I just check things off my list and it rocks. Like, I solved that problem. Next month, what are we going to do? You do this every month over 12 months and you solve 12 big problems in a business. Holy cow. Your business will get spectacular. But most people just don't really know what to do or even have a process to follow. Like that simple thing I just told you, which is discover, clarify, implement. Follow that rule for anything. What's going on in the business that's good or bad? Get clarity on it. How can I implement and make it work? Follow that process, it'll change your life.
Yeah, I think that's with any business.
Any business, yeah, 100%.
Or even like you have problems in a relationship, like, okay, let's discover what is the problem in your
life.
Well,
that's true too. You know? I mean, imagine, you know, you're married and for whatever reason, every Friday night, maybe you're married and say you don't have kids, and every Friday night, you and your spouse kind of get an argument over going out and a date problem. What's step number one? What's underneath it? Why? Why is one person or the person upset and frustrated? Well, I'm frustrated because you're not planning and I wish you'd plan it. Okay. Thank you for sharing that with me. Okay. We're doing some discovery. Let's get some clarity. What's the reason for that? Well, I want you to take care of me. I want to feel seen by you. Okay. There's the emotional component. What can we do to help solve this? Can we implement it? One, I just want you to care. I want you to pay more attention. Okay. I can do that. Thank you for sharing that with me. What else can we do? Maybe we can get together on Mondays and go, what are some fun things that we'd love to do together? And write a few ideas down.
Yeah.
And then I can execute those ideas. We just change the trajectory of your relationship when it comes to date nights.
Yeah.
In 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes.
Beautiful.
Well,
beautiful.
This is like,
wouldn't that be great? You can do this with anything.
Yeah, you can do it
with
anything.
Problems with your kids, problems in your business. I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that you can think of, this is a great formula.
I think it's fantastic because, you know, not only have we learned a lot today, we've also got like some therapy tips for So on that note, if you were to give someone that's out of college, they went to college for photography and they're like, I want to start a photography business, you know,
yeah,
what would you tell them? Like one tip, like, I think you need to do X, Y, Z, or maybe it's a couple.
Oh,
what's the first thing? Or maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, I would say step number one is what gets you excited? Like what kind of photography gets you excited? Because you can't do everything. You have to sort of pick. The more focused you get, the more successful. If you want to get successful and if you want to make money, money is a good measure of success because it's proving that people care. Dave Ramsey says it's the applause for a job well done. They give you money because they like what you did. So that's a good measurement. So find out what do you like doing?
Yeah.
What are you interested in? And then when you find out what you're interested, you got to think, where do I live and what's my demographic of people around me? Do people need that? And if they don't, can I sort of adapt what I want to do for whatever the needs are? Because you can't, if you go, you know what? Nobody's doing this kind of photography in my area. And they get really excited thinking they came up with this great new thing. And I go, there's a reason for that because nobody wants it. Now, that's not always the case, but mostly that's the case. If there's no wedding photographers in your area, it's because nobody wants it.
That's in my
otherwise,
area,
people would
no
already
senior.
Be doing it.
I even tried to get like a group of us to post, to like talk about it, to email about senior photography. They're like, oh, you mean the school yearbook photos? And I was like, yeah, I'm outside of New York. I don't know why they don't do senior photography.
They didn't really get it.
And I love the
age. Yeah, they didn't really get it.
You know? So
it's important to step one, find out what you're interested in. Step two, is there a market for it?
Yeah.
Step three, this is from Russell Brunson. He says, how do I fit into that market?
Yeah.
Where do I fit? Meaning, how can I complement what's already happening, but do something special and different and unique? So what's my specialization? So if I realized I love weddings, I think weddings are great. I'll use weddings because it's easy. I love weddings. Is there a market for it in Nashville? Yes, there's a huge market for weddings. And a lot of people spend a lot of money to come here and get married. Okay, great. Now, if I want to be a wedding photographer, what's the things that's going to be special about what I'm doing? So if I said, well, I'm a wedding photographer for couples who believe in marriage. Now I've got a unique proposition which, by the way, is every color.
I know. I was like,
but it's allowing them to see something different about what I'm marketing and saying. It's my own marketing hill. I'm not the best wedding photographer. Good luck.
Yeah.
There's way better wedding photographers than me and than you and pretty much everybody. Like, I live in a town where one of the best photographers probably in the world lives in 20 minutes from me. I'm not going to be better than that guy. He's a freak of nature.
Right.
Being the best is not the best idea. Being different is better.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the better idea. So what can I do that's unique? And then once I figure that out, then we do all the other stuff. Build the portfolio, the business plan, the unique positioning statement on my website, the relationship marketing, lead conversion workflow system, sales process to get people to say yes.
Pricing.
And then pricing. And then deliver. How do I deliver? Great, create a great experience. And then at the end, how do I get them to refer me to all their friends that are just like them?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And basically sign up to your coaching, right?
You know, this. I've been doing this a long time, so I've helped a lot of people. So like if you're in the wedding world, you may have heard of Amy and Jordan Demos or Caitlin James, or in the general photography world, Vanessa Joy, who's like, you know, huge in Adorama and like huge photographer right now. I've done coaching for all of these people and it helps them in different components or stages or places of their business. And then just a lot of just regular everyday photographers that, you know, came to me and said, we're doing real estate. And I said, okay, well, what's going on? Well, we're making 120 grand a year. I'm like, that sounds pretty great. They're like, no, because it's crazy. And we have 65 different real estate agents we're working with. And we're like, our heads are exploding. And we got a pretty good workflow. We deliver things. We turn things around the next day. But holy crap, this is really hard. I said, okay, why don't you go get one real estate company like Keller Williams, and then they'll send you 200 houses next year to sign a one-year contract. So they went out, did that, doubled their income like that. And the workflow was simple because they had one client. And I was like, great, go get three more of those and you'll make 500 Gs a year. And they were like, it took 2 weeks to double their income from $120,000 to $240,000. So that's the thing I've been doing for a long time. And the thing I'm really good at is to look at your business and go, okay, here's what's missing. Here's a simple way to solve this problem. Here's how we execute it. And now all of a sudden you have a business and it's working and you're doing the thing you love.
I love that. I love the just actually taking a different, you could just take a different spin on it. I think personally, it's so hard to start a business because there's so much to do. And if I was
it feels daunting.
It's daunting. And, you know, I mean, I have an MBA and I found it hard, right? I'm like very atypical photographer. And so we don't have an industry where we apprentice like hair care, you know, or we're going through that. I think there's like number one thing is, and we don't think that you need to invest. It's one of those things like, well, I got a camera and a computer. And I'm like, the best thing you could do is actually get like a coach who's done it before to like save you 3 or 4 years of headache.
What's interesting is there's actually data on this, which is over the course of the average photographer tries to make money in photography over the course of their 3 years of starting and then 76% of them failing.
Yeah.
The reason for that, what they spend in that time, not on camera gear, but on trying to make their business work, about $14,000.
That's not.
They spend $14,000 trying to figure out how to make the business work, and then 76% of them fail. But of those that get a legitimate game plan from somebody who they can apprentice with or can coach them, the statistics are literally the opposite. So I have a coaching business, and we have the average photographer makes like $31,000 a year on average. Mm-hmm. Our average photographer makes $76,000 a year and gets successful within 3 to 4 months because we give them the right plan to follow versus over a 3 year period failing and spending $14,000. So it's like if I say, oh, you want to go, let's coach together. It's going to cost $5,000. People are like, $5,000? That's crazy. And I'm like, well, you can try it on your own. And statistically, you'll spend $14,000 and it won't work.
Right.
Because you're just trying to figure it out on your own. But really, 20 years ago, most people became photographers working with an established photographer.
Right.
They spent time with somebody and learned how to do the business. They learned all the technical skills for shooting, which back then were very difficult to learn. And now it's much more easy to learn. You can hop on YouTube. You can get a camera that does a lot of the heavy lifting. And you you have enough skill set to go out there and actually do something. You've got an eye for it. But then the business part of it is this big component that there's a ton of information out there, but piecing it together in a way that actually has a process that is functional, can work, is really hard. It only takes 3 to 6 months to get profitable in a wedding photography or in any photography business.
Agreed.
Whereas it takes about 3 years on average to get successful and make a profit in almost any other business on the planet. So that's what's unique and brilliant about photography.
I agree. And I think it's just having that sort of roadmap or the guidance where you're not flailing and trying to learn and trying to spend money on things that actually don't work. I'm actually shocked at the statistic that people spend that much, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because a lot of what I've sort of found is like people actually are not spending and they need to spend on coaching, on like learning from others. They'll spend a ton of money. Although, you know what? I'll take that back. I think a lot of people spend money on education in terms of the lighting and, you know, the mentorships from the shoot perspective, but not necessarily the business perspective.
Which are things they think are important to make the business a success, and they do have a place.
They do have a place.
Know
absolutely.
How to tell a story.
Yeah.
And build a portfolio that people are interested in.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I would say, if I was going to give advice to somebody about that, I would say the most important thing is finding somebody you trust that has experience, that really knows what they're talking about. And if you really want to make money in your business, even part-time money, like, would I spend $5,000 to learn how to make $30,000 or $40,000 a year? Of course. And that's a great investment. But I remember back in 2012, when I was trying to reposition my business to a new niche, I hired a coach. I spent $5,000 for 3 hours. It was very expensive. But this guy is a genius. And my Discover, Clarify, Implement, that's from him. And he said, here's the 10 things that you need to do this thing. And I paid him $5,000 for him to tell me that in 3 hours. He told me that. I did the 10 things and did exactly what he said. And I made $100,000 that month.
Wow.
And I was like, so I spent $5,000, made $100,000. I was like, that was great.
Yeah, you returned
that investment. Client I was telling you about before that said, we're doing $120,000. We want to make more money. They paid me $5,000 and they made $240,000 next year. I doubled their income. So they made six figures from a $5,000 investment. Was it worth it? 100%.
Yeah.
So if you really can get a great game plan that is something that you can execute and have an asset for years and years to come, it is definitely worth investing into that.
Yeah. Well, I want to wrap up. This has been amazing, and I could probably talk to you all day and be present.
Well, it is easy to talk to you.
it's just because I'm English. No, I'm just kidding.
That's part of it.
Tell our audience where they can find you. We will put it in the show notes. So if you you don't have to spell it out, but, you know, tell us.
The best thing to do, speaking of Instagram, go follow me on Instagram, Zach Gray, Instagram.com/ZachGray. And then just, if you need anything from me, if you want to get on a call, if you want to talk about your business, if you want to explore coming to a workshop with me, I do workshops here at my house in Nashville, Tennessee, every 60 days. If you want to talk about coaching or tools or whatever it is, direct message me on Instagram and I'll get back to you right away and we can get on a phone call together and find out what's going on in your business. That's the best thing to possibly
do. That's amazing. And using social media for the better part versus like while you're scrolling, is it the 80% or is it the 20%?
Totally.
All right. Thanks, Zach. It's been great.